Well, but Catherine's here because we're going to talk books, and it's our monthly book group chat. So Leslie's readers, Catherine looks after it for us these days. She's a freelance journalist, works with Suffolk Libraries, Browser's Bookshop in Woodbridge, writes various publications. You'll see her in Suffolk Magazine, for example. What's your, because you've just had to get copy, and can you remember what you did most recently? You do it further back than me, don't you?
Yes,
I only did mine on Monday, so I was all right.
So I'm working ahead all the time, so I can never remember what the latest issue contained. But we did a big piece on Books East, didn't we? So there was an interview with Ranulph Fiennes in there, which was great to do.
I can't wait. That's happening this coming Friday night. I think there's still tickets left. So Anton Baring, who lives in Suffolk but has helped Ran with loads of his expeditions, they're going to do, they sort of do this double act. Yeah. Both is lovely about the other. So it's going to be fascinating to see who manages to actually get information out of the other one.
It's he's got brilliant. A real dry sense of humour as well. So
they're
quite
both
funny.
Are really looking forward to that. So yeah, so that's lots of those is happening over the weekend. We're talking specifically though about the book that we've been reading this month, and I have to admit I've only got halfway through it, so you need to slap my wrist, but I'm really enjoying it. It's not a difficult read at all. Margaret Forster's My Life in Houses, and it's really made me think of the houses that I've grown up in.
Yes.
It's such a clever idea.
Well, and the format of the book means that it doesn't matter that you haven't got to the end, because each section, each house that she looks at is a story in itself, so you can dip in and dip out as you like. And I found that certain houses struck more of a chord with me than others. But I think it's a really clever idea. So, and it's quite a slim book as well. So it's very easy to pick up. And she's gone through her life looking at the houses that she lived in, where she was born and where she studied at university, and even a holiday home, because she didn't move house that often, really, which I suppose is fairly unusual these days. But it's something that we could all try and do. We could all talk about our lives through the houses that we've done, and also as a creative writing exercise it's a really good idea as well, because it sets you off on different tangents. You start writing your memories of that house and what it was like there, and like she did at the beginning, it then leads you onto social history comments, you know, what was going on in life that way, and why the house was designed in the way it was designed and that sort of thing. And it goes through all her life, and mainly happy things, but then it brings, well, you've missed it,
some
but at the end
there's
a little
yet.
Bit sad at the end, yes. So the troubles that she had with her illness, which she had to face, but how her house was a consolation for her, because it was a place of safety and somewhere where she just wanted to retreat, and she felt safest there, I suppose.
And what becomes clear quite early on is she talks about her attitude to the house and how houses make her feel. And so that's a really interesting aspect, that a house is more to you than just somewhere to live. It is your home. It is your place that you escape, or maybe as a youngster you want to move out of it because you're not happy. And I mean, that's a really interesting angle to it as well.
Yes. Well, she comments about it at the end, actually, that she's come full circle, because when she was growing up, it was a sign of progression that she wanted to leave the family home. She enjoyed other people's homes because she was almost
jealous of other people's
homes. That's right,
homes, wasn't
yes.
She aspired to something else.
I think we can all relate to that as well, because whatever other people have got, when you're young, you want that, don't you? I remember my mother always cooked really lovely home-cooked meals, and yet I really liked going to a friend's house because they had junk food. And now, of course, I just love those home-cooked
meals.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a sign of wanting something different, I think. And then when she comes to the end of her life and she talks about retreating to the house and the fact that she didn't want to be in anybody else's house or any other house than hers, her home, you know, that was the place where she wanted to retreat. And also she described her illness she compared it to houses as well, that her body was like a house and she had cancer, and that she compared to having like dry rot or woodworm that she had to keep vigilant to make sure it didn't take her over. So it's quite interesting how she did perceive her house as so important. And also, of course, she wrote from home, she worked from home. So it is a really vital part of her life. And if she felt happy in the place that she lived, it enabled her to write better and more. And of course, we're very privileged that that was the case, because she's written so many brilliant books, brilliant novels, and also biographies.
Does she touch on, because a lot of people, as they get to the end of their life, they don't want to leave their home, even, and I think a lot of us have to face this, even if it's the best thing to do. Does she touch on that as well?
Yeah, because, well, she had to go to hospital a few times, and she's always talking about how she felt that she would get better more easily if she was at home, because she would feel more relaxed and she would be around things that were familiar to her. So yeah, she does touch on that quite a bit. And I think that's really moving and really honest as well, because by doing this book, she's writing a memoir, but by looking at her life through her houses, she also keeps us at a certain distance. So she only reveals what she wants to tell us about her life. And actually, she gets closer to us as she gets towards the end, I think. She's revealing quite a bit about her illness. And I think for anybody who has experienced that, or of somebody they love, that actually is quite a powerful section of the book to see what she went through and how she verbalises it, how she explains how she felt about her illness and how the places that she wanted to be as she coped with that, I suppose.
Well, I'm really glad you chose it, because although I'm sort of busy at the minute, it's one of those books that I shall definitely want to finish.
Yes.
It's not difficult to read. It's lovely to read.
It's really simple.
But her descriptions are lovely as well, aren't they? I don't know how people do it, but a good writer, obviously, brings back the smell and you can almost, as you step in through the front doors of her houses, see them and smell them and feel as if you're there, can't you?
That's right. Because the places that she's talking about aren't really familiar to me, so it's sort of Carlisle and, well, the Lake District, I know a little bit, and a place in London near Hampstead, and I don't really know those sort of places, but you can visualise it through
the houses, inside the houses, yeah. You could be anywhere, couldn't you? So just remind us of the details. So if you haven't read it yet, I know that Suffolk Libraries have got lots of copies if you want to go and borrow a copy.
Yeah, and it's also in paperback now. I've got a hardback here, but it is in paperback, so it's only about £7.99. It's called My Life in Houses by Margaret Forster. And I don't know who the publisher is.
Well, it's fine. I can look at it. I mean, if you look it up these days, it's not difficult, is it? You don't need all those details anymore. Your local bookshop will have all the details, and you can look online as well. But I'll keep those. So, Margaret Forster, My Life in Houses. What are we going to read next? Tell you after this.